Turn off your lights. Make sure your doors and windows are locked. Things are about to get spooky. He tried to follow me home. By Anonymous. This happened about a decade ago, when I was 19. At the time, I rented an apartment in a West Side neighborhood of Chicago with my sister, who was a year older than me. We both worked hospitality jobs in the city, and we both had pretty robust social lives. So it was fairly typical for one or both of us to get home at weird hours or be out all night. I'd take the pink line to and from work. At this point in my life, I was pretty used to being catcalled walking down the street. I'd been flashed on public transit a few times. Men would bump into me from behind on packed trains. Basically, the usual amount of sexual harassment for a young woman living in the city. Not much fazed me. Of course, it was uncomfortable. But I was never truly terrified. Until one night. That night, I was coming home from work well after midnight. The train car I was in had been empty for most of the ride. One stop before mine, a man got on and sat down in my car. Reflexively, I looked up at the new passenger entering the car. We made eye contact. Immediately, I felt the hairs stand up on the back of my neck. I knew I had made a mistake. That this might be interpreted as some sort of invitation. I quickly looked away, but felt him watching me as a train pulled away from the station. Since my stop was only one stop away, I decided to wait until the last second to stand up and exit the car, just in case he tried to follow me. Well, he did. He hung back about 30 feet at first, but I felt the gap between us closing, and his footsteps were getting louder. Then I heard him try to catch my attention, saying, "Hey." He catches up and starts speaking to me like any other man trying to chat me up would. I still couldn't shake the feeling of genuine fear I had since first locking eyes with him in the train car. He asked where I'm heading, and I told him I'm going home. He asked me if anyone was waiting up for me this late. I told him my boyfriend was. In reality, I knew my sister was working a late shift and I was going home to an empty apartment. Then he pulled his shirt to the side, exposing a gun in his waistband. In a joking tone, he said he'd fight my boyfriend for me. I laughed along and kept walking. We were walking down St. Mark, which is a pretty busy street even that late at night. I knew I couldn't let him follow me to my apartment, so when I came to the cross street where I should have turned, I just kept going straight. Eventually, I had walked far enough that I had passed the stop where he had originally gotten the train. He walked along with me for a while and dropped back and followed me for a while and eventually stopped. I thought I'd be relieved once I had shaken him, but as soon as I couldn't see him anymore, my fear only heightened. I still had to double back to my apartment somehow, and the trains had stopped running at 2 a.m. I figured he knew I walked too far and would have to turn around, so I thought it was possible he posted up somewhere in Claremark waiting for me. I turned off and walked a few blocks north and then started my less than 1 mile walk back west towards my apartment. The walk back was excruciating. Since I was now off the main road, it was much darker and there was absolutely nobody around. I kept telling myself I had to get home safe for my sister because she'd never be able to live with herself if something happened to me. I kept putting one foot in front of the other, and when I finally made it into my apartment and locked the door behind me, I collapsed into a puddle of tears. 10 years later on, I never felt fear again like I did that night. To this day, I never told my sister about it. I installed a new nightlight in the hallway because my son is afraid of the dark. This morning, he thanked me for staying in the hallway all night, making sure he was safe. Harassed, chased down by a car while walking with my mom. By, it's just daily. Narrated by, As the Raven Dreams.
Okay, so for context for this story, I live in a pretty rural area. We live on the outskirts of our town, which already is small, compared to the populations of other towns in California. We're about 15 minutes from the small town, and 40 minutes from the main city. We live down a dirt road with some neighbors. Our house has no other fences attached to ours, and on two sides of the house is only fields and dirt roads. One side having a single house in the field. The other two sides have a couple of neighbors down other roads, and nobody really interacts out here, except my dad talking to two of them sometimes. I was probably 12 when this happened. I had low self-esteem and I wanted to start exercising more. I had been enrolled in a charter school due to bullying. Yes, that played into my self-esteem, but let's get on with the story. So I didn't really have many ways of exercise, besides a treadmill that we owned. I wanted to start getting fresh air too, so my mom suggested that since we lived out here, that it would be peaceful to take walks down the back dirt road. I agreed, even though I was stubborn about it half the time, but we began walking and usually would go in the mid to late afternoon, when it would start cooling down outside, but was still light. In case it got dark, we took our flashlights too. Being out here, it was notorious for stray dogs to sometimes make their way out here, and we would carry pepper spray and a mini bat just in case one got vicious. However, a dog will play into this story. One day, me and my mom decided to go on a walk in the later afternoon. So me and my mom took off and started walking down the road. When you walk about a quarter of a mile down the road, you start to come towards a little cross section. There's a road going left to a highway, a road going right to the neighbor's house, or the road goes straight down to a utility road. Me and my mom discussed walking down the utility road to get a good walk in, since it went on for a while. When we started getting to the crossroad, this dog came out of literally nowhere. We were looking at it, and it was in the center of the road looking at us. Me and my mom looked at it, and my mom said that she got this feeling in her stomach that we needed to turn around and walk home. So she grabbed my arm and started leading me back home, and then let go so that we could walk. We were in the midst of walking when she looks ahead and stops to stare at something. I ask what she's looking at and she points. A white car pulled up to our fence, and quickly backed up and shot down the road on the side of our house. Mind you, nobody ever goes down this road, except one old man that we know. Anyone else who does usually is scoping out my dad's tools to steal. My mom said that she felt a bit uneasy because of it, and pulled me to the edge of the dirt road, almost into the field. The car had driven to the highway and left, or so we thought. We continued walking back to our house, when this car comes back and drives down the road that we were walking alongside. I caught a glimpse, and it was this smaller white car with black tinted windows that you couldn't see through. My mom instantly got a feeling of impending doom and pulled me into the field. Not too far, but far enough. We kept walking through the field towards our house, getting closer now when this car comes back down the road. My mom stops me in my tracks to see what the car is doing, and it drives back to our house and starts driving around it super fast. For context, we have a random road and area that goes around our yard on our property. My mom waits until the car drives back down the side road, and she tells me that we need to start running. So that's what we did. We started running through the field, getting to one of the little sections near my yard. The car comes back and drives down the road, trying to cut us off. Me and my mom are panicking at this point, and have no idea who this is and why they're acting like this. The car circles around again, and my mom drags me to further to the right, I think, of where we were and told me we were going to run into the ditch. We get down in the ditch, and the car comes back around and pulls to the edge of the ditch where we were. The front of the car was facing us, and all I could think about was, if it drove down, it would hit me and my mom and probably kill us. My mom quickly put her arm in front of me and stood dead still while I was literally horrified, and dropped our flashlight, and I think my water bottle. The car was getting ready to drive down where we were, and then suddenly they backed up and drove around the yard, going back down the side road to the highway. Me and my mom felt like our souls had left, and she tells me to run, don't look back, and to go to the front gate. I run up the ditch, feeling my heart pounding. I run around the yard and towards the front gate, flinging it open, and I started running towards the front door. I didn't hear my mom behind me. I was running to the door to open it right when I looked over and saw the car coming back down the side road. I ran into the house, trying to catch my breath. I saw the car drive down the road and I didn't see my mom, so I was panicking. I ran towards the sliding glass door, and suddenly my mom comes running towards it and flings it open, running in and locking it. She tells me to go lock the front door while I try to catch my breath, and tell her that I was scared because I had no idea where she was. She went to chug some water from the fridge and told me that, when I was running, she was trying to shut the front gate, when she noticed the car coming back down the road. She said that she knew she wouldn't have time to follow me to the door, so she ran behind my sister's car to stay out of the view of the car. And when it drove back down the road, she took the opportunity to run to the back door since it was closer to my sister's car. It's crazy to think that if we hadn't seen that dog standing there in the road and decided to turn back, that we may have been run down. Fortunately, we haven't seen the car again and think it may have just been some crazy person or druggie who just so happened to come down our road that day.
I smile knowingly as my date and I both take a sip of wine. It is only as I wake up to find myself chained in a dark basement that I realize she must have switched our glasses. My dog is mine and my best friend's possible hero, by Purple Dozlin. I've always wanted my own dog. I put a lot of research into it and decided I wanted a Bernese Mountain Dog, which my mom graciously paid for part of as a graduation present. One thing to know about this breed, and my dog in specific, Sirius, is they're very friendly and don't know a stranger. Before getting him, I saw videos of the same breed just napping while repair people came into the backyard. This was not an issue for me. We have a very protective St. Bernard at home, and I don't think we need a second guard dog, and I wanted to be able to take my dog out. It was better for him to be friendly. Around October, when a chill was starting to form in the air, a friend and I decided to get some pumpkin-flavored coffee for us and a pup cup for Sirius, and go to the local park to get him some exercise, now that it wasn't too hot for him to be outside and smoke some. This is not one of the nicer parks. It used to have a dog park attached, but due to continuous flood damage, it was closed down. And now the area where it used to be is mostly secluded, and there's plenty of people who use that for their advantage and do drugs there, like we had planned on doing. There's also a lot of families on the weekends, but this was in the middle of the week during school and work hours, so the park was pretty much empty when we got there. As we walked, we passed a man who was trained for something I'm not sure I'd like to know about. He was carrying a full army pack and was drenched in sweat, and when I later told my stepdad about this, he said he had seen the same guy running along the main road where there was no sidewalks. Sirius completely ignored him. We also met a couple who had a Rottweiler puppy a few months younger than my dog, and we stopped to let them play for a moment and talk to the couple. Sirius had absolutely no issue with the pair and was very happy to receive pets from them. Eventually, we got to the location we were planning to smoke at, directly underneath the train tracks, which is the most secluded location in the park, as there's only one path to get to it, unlike the rest of the park that loops around. This area used to be a road, but it was purchased by the city for the park, so it's empty besides a house or two just past the barriers. We were there for around 3 minutes before an older man walked by, giving us a how's it going the way people do when they pass them on the walk, and turned around and walked back the other way. A little while later, he passed back again and noticed us still sitting there, stops and says, "Are you girls alright? Are you waiting for a ride?" This creeped me out slightly, but I tend to be overly cautious, so I say, "No, we're okay." Which was true. I had driven there, and I was still nowhere sober enough to drive, and we were just enjoying the nice weather before it got too cold. He responded by telling us to have a nice day and turned around. Sirius, through these interactions, just continued to play with the stick he was chewing on. I mention these encounters to just solidify how absolutely strange the next one was. Soon after, a man who seemed to be in his late 40s or early 50s started to walk towards us, instead of turning around like the other man had. Sirius absolutely lost it, barking and growling at this man and attempting to lunge at him. Despite the fact that he was only around 7 months at the time, Sirius is a big dog, probably around 70 pounds at this point, and the man was very freaked out and continued past us, walking faster and keeping his distance. However, like I said earlier, there's nothing behind us besides an empty road and thick, heavy woods. My friend and I continued to sit there until I was sure enough that he was gone. "That was weird, right?" I asked my friend about 30 minutes after. She agreed with me. "Where did he even go anyway?" That was something I hadn't considered at the time, but looking around, I couldn't think of anywhere he could have been. Because we're high and stupid, we come up with the brilliant idea to wait and see if he passed us again. And if he doesn't, we'd walk towards the road behind us to see if there were houses he could have gone to. However, him living in one seemed unlikely. He was dressed for hiking with one of those backpacks specifically made for it, and he lived so close I didn't think he'd dress up for a hike. He doesn't pass us again, so we walk up the small hill and past the barricade. There's around 3 houses just past it, all pretty run down. The second we get to the first one, a man comes out on his porch with a gun and just stares at us. So, safe to say the people who live there aren't a fan of people from the park on their property. I think the only solution is he went into the woods. I never seen my dog act like that before, and I haven't seen him act like that since. Every other time, he acts like everyone he meets he's known for a life. I've always thought the dogs have better instincts than us, and this has just proven it for me. We're both pretty small girls, around 100 pounds and under 5'5", and it's scary to think what could have happened had my dog not been with us, and we had no way of defending ourselves in such a secluded area. My daughter would always come into my room at night, crying about a monster threatening her. Tonight, pushed to the edge, I locked her in the basement, buying myself some time to ponder the unsettling fact that, as far as I could recall, my daughter never had blue eyes. Joey Crack by Simulation Error. Narrated by As the Raven Dreams.
This happened while in my early 20s. My best friend was always getting into risky stuff. While she did various drugs, I was always more of a pothead. When they said pot was a gateway drug, I believe it's true to a certain extent, with those who have addictive personalities. She definitely developed an addiction issue later on. My friend, her name was KK, was always down to meet people. She used to friend random people on Facebook or Instagram. She would ask me to hang out, so that way when she met people, I was the buffer just in case they didn't like each other. One day she came over to my house unannounced, and was like, "Hey, let's go to my uncle's house," because her aunt was there, and her aunt had some goods. Her aunt happened to be down the road. Her aunt and uncle were known as dealers in the area. So, we went. When we got there, she was like, "Hey, I met this guy online. He goes by Joey Crack." Then she shows her aunt his pictures. He's a wide-set man with a red goofy face, cornrow braids, face tattoos, and a gold grill. I laughed and said, "Wow, Kay, you really know how to pick 'em." She had already invited him over, so upon his arrival, he then comes out of nowhere, just walks right up and gives Kay a big hug, and everyone else a kiss on the cheek. In this part of town, there was nothing around, just houses, a school, and woods. The closest store was about 20 minutes, so it struck me as odd that he walked there. So it was me, Kay, her aunt, and her aunt's friend. We sit and get 3 joints in rotation. By this time, both aunts are high as a kite on coke. They take a few puffs and then go inside the house, leaving me, Kay, and Joey Crack outside. Joey then starts asking us questions, like how we know each other, what we do for a living, etc. It was getting late, so I was telling her that I was going to go home. She was like, "No, don't go yet." I told her that I was tired and that Joey is weird and that he kept low-key hitting on me. She then tells me that he asked to sleep with her, and that he wanted to ask her to ask if I was down. I laughed it off and said, "You're crazy." And after a while of silence, I deflected, and then heard some noise in the darkness. "You heard that?" After a bit of small talk between him and Kay, he then learned that neither of us was interested, that it was just a hangout. This then turned the mood, and you could feel it. It was suddenly eerily quiet. He got reserved and shifty-eyed. I sat down for a while just to please Kay. At one point, I turned to Joey, knowing he walked here and that it was dark by now. "What are you about to do? Because I'm about to go home, and Kay's coming with me." He was like, "I just texted my boy, he's about to come get me." When he was texting, Kay was right behind him watching him text. Her eyes grew wide and she looked at me. That was silent girl code for girl WTF. Kay broke the silence and was like, "Hey, come help me get this thing from inside to bring it out." So I did. We went inside and she was like, "I'm gonna call my uncle so he can take us to your place." And I was like, "Why?" My house was like a 10-minute walk. She said because when she was looking at Joey's text, he sent to whoever was coming to pick him up the information of all of us here. He noted that her aunts were high on coke, as well as us, along with our age. He was telling his boy to come over to basically rob and sexually attack us. And then he called dibs on the blonde one. I was the blonde one. Every hair stood up on my body, with the thought of some gross goon trying to have his way with me. I was mad because she got me into this crap. We came back out and continued our conversation with him so that he wouldn't get suspicious of us. She mentioned out loud that her uncle was on his way home. As he pulled in, a sigh of relief came out of me. They spoke briefly, and Joey then departs into the darkness before his ride even shows up. Kay and I get a ride from her uncle to my house. On the ride, we noted how weird Joey was. Later that night, as I was going to bed, I checked my Facebook, and I had a friend request from Joey, and a message.
You're so pretty. I would love some alone time with you, without your friend.
The message ended with his number. I never blocked someone so fast. After this, Kay did not learn her lesson. But that's another story for another time. A week later, Joey was in the news as he was wanted for SA, robbery, and drug possession. A bullet well missed on my part. So Joey Crack, let's never meet again.
My mother snatched the pill bottle from me, slapping me hard with her other hand. "You don't leave me alone with him," she hissed, angry tears spilling out of her bruised and swollen eyes. Average Motel 6 Experience by AdPlastic7988. I'm 22 male, so I decided to stay in a Motel 6 for one night in southern North Hampshire area. I had back-to-back hotel shifts, so it wasn't worth it to drive 45 minutes back home just to do it again 6 hours later. I checked in around 11:15 p.m. and went to my room. Of course, the door refused to open, and the key ended up snapping in half, probably because it was 10 degrees out, so I had to go back to the office to change rooms and get a new card. My new room actually did open. It was pretty clean overall. I didn't see any major issues with it. I tried to get some sleep, but wake up about 4 a.m. to people arguing somewhere in the hotel. I generally didn't think it was possible to be so unbelievably loud between two people. This argument went on for what seemed like forever, until finally they shut the fuck up. However, about 15 minutes later, I hear someone trying to force their way into my room. I had both locked and latched the door, yet the door somehow was cracked open and the latch was definitely about to give out. It would have opened fully if I didn't say, "Get the fuck out!" Between the cracks, I just saw a dark figure in maybe a hoodie or jacket. The instant I said that, the door closed and the person seemingly left. Now, I would have opened the door and confronted them, but I did not have my gun on me at the time. I generally have no idea what could have happened if I was fully asleep and didn't hear them open the door. First and last time I'll ever stay at a Motel 6. For the love of God, no matter how much money you save by staying at a Motel 6, please, please, please just stay at a regular hotel. I promise you, it's worth it. I woke up tied to a rail track, but found relief when I realized a lever would divert the train. Unfortunately, the other track had 5 people tied there, and I was alone. A Near Home Invasion While Staying Alone by Leafs Do Better. I'm 21 female, and I don't know how long this will be. It took me about 4 days to be able to actually type this out. Got weird mini anxiety attacks while I tried. I'll be the first to admit that I have / had a very can't happen to me complex. And that's kind of what occurred in this story. I'm a university student and I live in a rental house with 5 other people. It's far from ideal, but in this housing outcry that we live in, it takes the sting off of us having to pay a bunch of money a month to exist in a box. This has relevancy, I swear. I got extremely lucky last weekend when the 5 of the roommates I had were all out for the weekend. This has never happened, so I was ecstatic to have the house to myself. I did the whole 21-year-old girl home alone stuff you can think of. Watch movies with the volume loud. Taking long-ass showers, walking around the house without a bra on, You get the picture. It was around 10 p.m. I had finished some homework and was relaxing with a glass of wine and watching some streaming services. It sounded briefly like there was something moving on the porch. We've had a fox in our yard before, and that thing used to make a lot of noise on our porch. So, I assumed that to be the case. After hearing some fumbling the second time, I went over to check through the window. There was nothing there. As I'm turning to head back to the living room, a piece of cement flies through our kitchen window. I didn't know it was cement at the time, but that's not important. I think I peed myself a little bit when it happened, but I definitely screamed like a little girl. My moronic ass started to unlock the door to go outside, but common sense seized control of me again and I locked the door back up. I also ran to the back door to make sure it was still locked, even though it was glass and it wouldn't have made a difference. Oddly enough, at this time, my grandma's words came into my head about something her own mother had told her. If someone tries to break into your house, turn the lights off. You know the inside of your house better than they do. I shut the lights off in the living room and managed to turn the TV off, which was hard because my hands were shaking. My dad used to give me and my siblings advice on protection measures, which were not resonating at this time. I secured myself in my upstairs bedroom, roast me if you want, and had turned all the lights out in the house as I passed them. While walking up the stairs, I could hear the doorknob shaking furiously from the front door. Don't know if there was more than one person, or if they realized they couldn't jump the fence to get into the backyard. While calling for emergency services on speaker, I secured my hunting knife to the end of my hockey stick with hot pink duct tape. I know that's probably one of the most Canadian things I could say. If I was going to have to use it, at least I would look fabulous. I stayed in the dark holding my makeshift spear for what was probably about 15 minutes. I'm really glad I wasn't being murdered in that amount of time. The operator told me the police were coming, which they eventually did. Took a very unsettling amount of time. The only reason I left the bedroom in the first place was because I heard knocking on the door downstairs, and the police lights were flashing through the window. Otherwise, someone would have had to come in and physically pull me out of the room. A statement was given, but that's all they did. Literally, all they did. Literally. Literally, all they did. Nothing else. Just literally that. A very nice female officer stayed with me in the house and helped me clean up the glass until my brother showed up to bring me to his place for the rest of the weekend. So, shout out to the officer Cutie with the tattoos. I made an appointment with the doctor to get on anxiety medicine as well as medicine for nightmares. I know I wasn't in physical danger at that point, but I've had some very charming dreams about similar scenarios. And I was just finding it easier to stay awake. Maybe that's juvenile of me, but I am human. Meds are working fine, and I'm back in my house with wall-to-wall people again. And honestly, I don't hate that so much anymore. Please have a fun, safe weekend. As the last day of my religious training ended, I was told to walk down the long stone walkway and reach the 5 towering pillars at the end. When I reached the end, they seemed to begin to curl in. Those weren't pillars. They were fingers. I rejected him, so he stalked me. By Anonymous. So, this story started when I was 14, 17 now. So I used to play in a park with my friends. I had a crush on a boy who was also 14 as well. He used to play with us, and he too had a crush on me. And he had a friend who was older than him, 16 to 17 maybe. So we all used to play together. I always saw my crush's friend as a brother, but his feelings for me were not appropriate. He liked me. So one day, on my birthday, he roundly approached me and told me that he loved me. I replied that I did not have the same feelings for him and liked someone else. He did not take no as an answer. Now, this is when the creepy part started. I recently joined Instagram and somehow he found my Insta ID and began messaging about how he loved me. I rejected him multiple times, but he just won't stop, so I blocked him. Now he started making multiple Insta accounts to stalk me and message me from each one of them, and I kept blocking him. I was annoyed and enraged at this point and threatened him that I would report him to the cyber police. So he took it up his ego and kind of started following me at places. He would take the same route as mine, knew the timing about when I was going to the park, when I was going to buy groceries. So whenever I went out of the house, he would creepily stare. Angry oogling until I was out of his sight, he wouldn't even budge his eyes for a second. When I used to play, I've stopped playing with him, but he continuously roams around me and stares. Now I was scared to a point where I started to hesitate to go out of my house. Whenever I saw him, my heart would drop and I'd start to hyperventilate. I thought I was the only one who found him creepy, but my mom was like, "Who is that guy who always roams around you? He doesn't give me good vibes. Try to stay away from him." I was like, "Yep, he is bad. And you know that, person is not a good person if your mother's instincts sense something fishy." This went on for 2 whole years, and his staring or messaging and stalking for fake accounts didn't stop. He even went to the extent to manipulate a friend of mine and my crush, who I started dating, that I was a slut. We didn't break up though. That's when I had enough and decided to take action. I went straight to that bastard and slapped him right into his face. To this day, whenever I hear his name or see his picture, I get a panic attack and my hands and legs start shaking in fear. In fact, he was attracted to one of my friends and asked to see her breasts. She was too scared to do anything to him or even tell an adult. For my third wish, I asked the genie for all the women to be completely obsessed with me. It was incredible, until I went on a trip, and they tortured my family for my whereabouts. And with that, our time together is coming to an end. I'd like to thank As the Raven Dreams for lending me his voice to bring these stories to life. If you'd like to hear more of him, check the show notes / description box for all his links. As always, I'd like to thank everyone who let us read their stories this evening. I hope you all stay safe and away from any more creeps that mean to do you harm. I also wanted to make a comment about the woman who tied a knife to the hockey stick. That's actually very smart. It is better to be further away from someone and be able to attack them than too close, especially if you're not too proficient with a weapon. And also, hockey sticks do hurt on their own to be hit with. Every Canadian knows this. We all get hit by hockey sticks. It's a rite of passage. I'm very happy that you all listened to your gut and got the heck out of those situations with whatever way you could. As I say, especially in public, if you're feeling off, be loud, be annoying, do whatever you need to get out of that situation, and never let them take you to a second location. Your chances of surviving something like that or not being harmed are very slim. I truly read these stories, one, to be entertained, but two, to remind you that you should try to keep your eyes out for people who mean to do you harm. You never know when someone's going to be creeping on you or has decided that you're the next victim that they want. So, I want you all to stay safe. And with all that being said, if you enjoyed this video, hit that like button and make sure it feels it. If you're new, please subscribe and turn that pretty little bell to all notifications. If you're on the podcast and on a platform that allows it, please leave me a review. And if you're on Spotify, there's questions that you can answer if you like. And please share with anyone who might enjoy this channel/podcast. It really helps quite a bit, and if you'd like to help in other ways, I do have Patreon and memberships as well, on YouTube and for the podcast. I'd like to thank all my patrons and members for your support. Thank you guys so much. And if you'd like to do also a one-time donation, I do have PayPal and Buy Me a Coffee as well. But as always, guys, thank you for watching and listening. It always has and always will mean the world to me. Sleep tight and don't let 42 bite.